Blog Talk Radio.
Come on, y'all, make some noise. Make some noise, make some noise, make some noise. Come on, make some noise out there.
Welcome to Word Outreach International with your host, Dr. Jerry O. Robinson, bringing practical teaching, spiritual insight, and prophetic utterances from the Word of God. So call your friends and family and tell them to tune in right now to Word Outreach International. May God continue to richly bless you.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and we are back one more time to share with you good gospel news. And as you've heard me say so many times on the podcast, and I don't care what the situations or the circumstances may be today, and I know that sometimes they're seemingly rough and they're seemingly so hard that we can't bear them, but the good news is that the bad news is wrong. And I just want to thank God for being back with you on another podcast and giving God the praise for all of the blessings that he bestowed upon us throughout this week. And we're back Friday morning. And we have our special guest with us one more time from Memphis, Tennessee, Pastor Andrew Sullivan down there.
Good morning. How's everything? Good morning. Good morning. How are you this morning? We're blessed and highly favored, oh God. And we thank God for that and had a friend. Thank you, pardon?
Go ahead.
Yeah, I said we're blessed and highly favored. I had a friend that said that he was fair and partly cloudy. But we thank God that things are going well here in Memphis, Tennessee.
Fair and partly cloudy. I remember those words from somewhere.
Praise the Lord.
I wonder who used to say that.
You know, it's a good adage.
No, I don't like that adage. I think I used to say that myself. No,
I believe that. It sounds like you, Brother Robinson. It sounds like
you. I've been converted. The sun is shining.
Bless the Lord.
Amen. Amen. We're glad for you to be back with us again, Pastor Sullivan, and you have truly blessed my heart, and you truly blessed the hearts of the audiences that are listening and the people who listen to us in the archives, hearing us live, whatever the cause may be. I just want to say thank you for bringing out a lot of the information and the revelation that the Lord has imparted to you concerning the gospel and the things that we are sharing in this particular episode on the topic of every good thing.
Yes.
It's truly been enlightening to me, and I just want to applaud you for allowing the Lord to speak to you, especially to the hearts of men, concerning what he's placed in you at this time.
Amen.
Now, you know, we were talking last week. We got into, almost at the end of the episode, we began to talk about the good things that were in us, and I think you felt like a little bit of preaching at one time because because of the things that have been imparted to you and me as a responsibility by the gospel. And it's
Amen.
A mandate.
Amen.
It's not a good idea. It's not it's not optional.
Mm-hmm.
It is actually a mandate, as I shared a few minutes ago, and a command from the Lord for us to be on the air with you this morning. And
Amen.
Notice I said we are on the air. And
on the air.
Literally.
Hallelujah.
The waves that we're receiving through this broadcast are being telegraphed back to you, the listener. And we're just thanking God, miracle of this opportunity to be able to have our voices shared on the air through audio. And so with that being said, we're going to get right back into the word.
Can I interject right there before it leaves me?
Yes, sir.
Since we're on the air, and the devil is the prince and power of the air, and as we preach this gospel or teach this gospel and share and communicate these good things in us that God has imparted to us through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by way of the Holy Spirit, I wanted to shoot a few missiles into the air at the prince and power of the air, who is Satan himself. Amen.
Okay.
Three things I want to raise our attention to is that, number one, that we are in a war.
Okay.
Every born-and baptized, blood-bought believer, whether you acknowledge it or not, we are in a war. And the war is against the powers, the principalities, the rulers of darkness of this world, the spiritual wickedness in high places. Satan and his cohorts, we're at battle. One of the first problems with being in a war is to be in a war and don't know it. Too many Christians are in this war and don't have a clue that the war is going on. Oh, they know the situation and circumstances get kind of strange sometimes. They have these ups and downs. But the mentality, the mindset is that I'm in a war, which parallelly should have every Christian understanding that we are soldiers. And the songwriter said we are soldiers in the army of the Lord. We have to fight, although we have to cry. We have to hold up the blood-stained banner. We got to hold it up till we die. So it's bad to be a soldier, be in a war and don't know it. Number two, to be in a war and don't know it, and secondly, don't know who your enemy is. Too many Christians are still fighting flesh and blood, and the Bible done told us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, against power, but against those powers and principalities, rulers, doctrines, as well as spiritual wickedness in high places. Our battle is not against our friends, relatives, and neighbors, not against our brothers and our sisters, not against people of other nationalities or different sexual orientations. That is not where our fight is. Our battle is against the devil. Amen. And so to be in a war, don't know it, and then don't know who your enemy is bad. But lastly, to be in a war, don't know who your enemy is, and to have the weapons to win the war and don't know how to use them. Praise God. That's the purpose of Bible study and personal study. That's the purpose of fasting and praying, purpose of meditating, amen, and memorizing, so that we in turn could use properly the tools that God has equipped us with to not only fight the battle, well, acknowledge there is a battle, and then fight the battle, and then use the proper tools to win the battle. Even though the scripture said that we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ, but we got to realize the victory. And by realizing the victory, participate in him, with him in the battle. So I just wanted to raise the fact that as we shoot these missiles into these principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world, and Satan, who is the prince of darkness as well as the prince of the powers of the air, I wanted us to remember we're in a war. Amen. We do know who we're battling against, and we do know how to use the tools that God has given us to win. Praise the Lord.
You know, thank you for saying that, because you and I talked about this a little bit after the last podcast, that actually we are in a war. And I think that a lot of times, as you shared a few minutes ago, that when we don't know who our enemy is, we don't understand. First of all, in that you brought up that particular, in you're speaking to that area, our enemy is very skilled in his area.
Amen.
And this is why we're on the podcast this morning, because we came to help, to come alongside and help you, to aid you in some type of way here to develop a defense as well as an offense against this enemy that we that is opposed to us. And so
Amen.
we are We pressed. Let me tell you something. I pressed today to come here. The cliche that the Lord gave me was pressed to be pressing to be a blessing, and not
all
just
right.
pressed to be blessed. Because sometimes we press to be blessed and we're thinking about ourselves, but mm-hmm. we are pressing to be a blessing. This is what this preacher and I were doing here on the podcast today. We're pressing to be a blessing to you, those of you who are listening.
Amen.
Hear our voice. And so we're seeking to equip you with what God has enabled us with as well, or imparted to us. We're seeking to in some way equip you with the arsenal. We're not saying that you don't have any equipment, and we're not saying that you're not armed. We're just saying, and for those of you who don't have any equipment and those of you who are not armed, we came to help by the grace of God today to arm you and to equip you so that you
mm-hmm.
can be able to move in this warfare that we're in. And I believe
yeah.
that is so true, Pastor Sullivan. So many people are not aware of the actual warfare that we're engaged in. Can you elaborate
yes,
on the as you said, we were shooting missiles in there. Can you elaborate on that particular phrase for us?
Well, when we pray in the Spirit, the Bible says that we know not how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercessions for us with groanings greater than we can utter. Which means in our prayer life, we are praying to the one who can answer prayer. His name is Jesus, and he's our mediator, adjudicator, and intercessor, amen, in heaven to the Father on our behalf. Amen. That's why we pray to the Father in the name of Jesus, that before we make the contact. But at the same time, when we're doing spiritual warfare, when we're fighting for the life of someone or for the salvation of someone or for the deliverance of someone, or even for ourselves, when we've been oppressed, depressed, and suppressed, amen, by the enemy, we have the ability to pray in the Spirit. And when we pray in the Spirit, those words that we speak are anointed because the Spirit itself is making intercession on our behalf, not only to the Father, but against the enemy. And as we pray into the air, we have the ability to speak to mountains of satanic adversity and command it to go in the name of Jesus. The power is in our tongue. Amen. And when we speak the words that we are being led by the Spirit to speak, we can be in China and people can be in Korea, and we can pray the enemy off of them by shooting these missiles, these good missiles in the Spirit, into the air, and therefore bombard the attack of the enemy. And we know that we have our petition because we be worshipers of God. So as we pray in the Spirit, it's kind of like this. When you start praying, you may start praying in the natural because you're doing it out of your common sense or out of your head and out of the leading. But you have to pray through your flesh. And once that gears is shift out of the flesh into the Spirit, amen, then we begin to connect with God, and God began to touch those things that he's leading us to pray about. Amen. And the Bible tells us that God cannot and will not deny himself. So God is not going to lead me to say something that he's not going to honor, because the words that I'll be sharing are the words that are being given to me by the Spirit through the unction of the Holy of Jesus Christ to say. And so when we pray, we know we have our petition because we're praying in the Spirit. So whatever the enemy is doing, whether you got people strung out on drugs, whether you got folk with chronic alcoholism or gambling problems, whether you have folk strung out to the extent that they can't control their faculties in any manner, shape, form, or fashion, we have the power and ability if we touch and agree. Remember the scripture say that where two or three gather together in my name, touching and agreeing on any such thing, I'll be in the midst, and whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. So, yes, we bombard the heavenlies where the devil is the prince and power of the air. And we can get from God by way of the Spirit what he desires for us to have. God bless you.
Well, you know, as you were sharing that, as we move forward to the good things. The first thing that came to my heart was the book of Corinthians, and when the Apostle Paul began to share with the Corinthian church, he began to exhort them in the, it's the 10th chapter here, Second Corinthians chapter 10, he begins to exhort them about the weapons that you're talking about. He shares with them verse 3. He says, "But though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh."
Amen.
He says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through the pulling down of
strongholds." Yes.
And the weapons are mighty of God. In other words, they're not just through him, but they're of him. They're because those weapons that you're sharing, which is actually the words in which you and I are ministering today, those words that are, we talked about this a little bit last week. He said, acknowledging every good thing that is in Philemon 6, that is in Christ Jesus. And what that good thing is, we discovered, and I shared this several times, that the good things are good words. And so the words, the weapons of our warfare, are not missiles in terms of physical missiles. They're not they're not machetes, or they're not nuclear bombs, or they're not the machine guns or the latest artillery of the day. They are actually in the spirit world, the word that you and I preach, that we're sharing right at this very moment. So he says, using those weapons to pull down strongholds. If we're pulling down strongholds, which actually are, and he defines the strongholds as being this, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted against the knowledge of God, bringing to captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, which we know that is the anointing, or the anointed one. Having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. So we sought to fulfill our obedience this morning by coming on this podcast and share with you through the airways to fulfill our obedience to help down strongholds that are in our lives. And actually, when we say our minds, our lives, we're talking about our minds. Let's talk about this for a minute, because you and I shared a little bit last week about, we were talking about let this mind be in you. We were also talking about that by the renewing of your mind. And we started sharing, we talked about let this mind be in you from Philippians 2 and 5, I believe, and the renewing of our mind, Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. So let's talk about that today. Let's talk about the good things that are inside of us, because we know that every good and perfect gift comes from the Father from above. Of light, there is no variableness, as James said, or shadow of turning. So let's talk about that today. You were talking about the missiles.
Yes, sir. Well, as I talk about having the equipment to win and not be knowledgeable of how to use it.
Yes.
Since you were in Corinthians, let's look at what the scripture tells us in the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians. It talks about there are differences of administration.
Okay.
Through salvation in Jesus Christ, God has put a administrative ability on the inside of us.
Okay.
And then it talks about there are just diversities of operation.
Wait a minute before you go in.
Go ahead.
Now, you just made one powerful statement, and I want you to come back and revisit that statement once you make your point here. But your statement was just shared that God has put inside of us administrative what?
Abilities.
Okay.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And that's good, too, because some folk out of control allow uncontrolled to be in their life, however you want to put it. But we have the ability through way of the Holy Spirit upon salvation to administrate people, places, and things. Amen.
Okay.
Let's go on then. And then it says, now we're talking about these diversities of gifts. You know, every good thing which is in us was also in Christ Jesus. So God has imparted spiritual giftings in us. He's given us this divine gratuity. He gave us this spiritual endowment, not just the presence of his spirit, but his spirit brings with him all of these attributes. Amen.
Okay.
So there's difference of administrations. We have diversities of operations. And then it says in verse 7, but the manifestation of the spirit is given to every man to profit with all. So God has just invested this in us for us to go somewhere and sit down. To be like the young men that he gave talents to. The one he gave one, he went and buried it and did not make it profit. And his excuse was, I knew you were the hard taskmaster, and when you come back, I want to be able to give you back what you gave to me to hold. But God didn't give it to him to go bury it. He gave it to him to make a profit, and he did not do that. So too many of us in the body of Christ is sitting down on the gifts that God has imparted in us. And then if you begin to acknowledge what they are. Beg pardon?
Can you elaborate on that a minute? The gifts you said, the gifts that God has imparted to you. You're gonna talk about these gifts, am I correct?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay.
And we pick them up in verse 8. Now, we're talking about spiritual, supernatural gifts. I haven't even gotten into the talents that he has imparted in us. See, we're just still working on the gifts. See, God has also imparted talents in us. And I've met people say that they don't know what their gifts are and they don't have no talents. And they claim or proclaim to be a born-again believer. Praise the Lord. So we have to sit down and enlighten them that they are not worth less, but they are profitable if they let the Spirit take charge. So look at verse 8. It says, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. Amen. See, knowledge tell you what, and the wisdom tell you why.
Okay.
To another, the word of knowledge. Until I said knowledge tell you who. Tell you whether who is the who, whether it's God or the devil. That's basically, if you want to stay basic.
Okay.
We need to know in our knower if what's going on, is it sponsored by God, sponsored by the devil.
Okay.
And maybe the third point would be, whether it's sponsored by my flesh. Praise the Lord.
Okay.
Verse 9, it said, to another, faith, the gift of supernatural ability to trust God by the same spirit. To another, the gifts of healing God has imparted in the body. That's why the Ephesian writer says that we all fitly join parts in the same body to one another, and that the body is supposed to be sufficient in and of itself. That means within the body we have the ability and the power to bring about restoration if we would just acknowledge the administrations and the operations that God has placed in the body. Hello.
Okay.
And so the gift of healing by the same spirit. To another, the working of miracles. People can believe that God is not working miracles if they want to, but my Bible says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. To another, prophecy, the supernatural ability to speak the mind of God without knowing who the person, place, or thing is or what's going on. It's a divine inspiration given by God. And one of the blessings of prophecy out of the prophet is the fact that you can speak what God said and don't worry about how it falls, because and don't have to take the credit for what's been said, because it wasn't you, no way. You was only like the mailman, delivering the mail. Praise the Lord.
Okay.
And then to another, discerning of spirits. We have the ability within us to know, again, if it's God or the devil, or if it's flesh. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. Our prayer language is designed that we can speak in tongues, that God will interpret what we're saying. To another, the interpretation of tongues. Now, when I say speaking in tongues, that's an unknown tongue as well as the known tongue. We have the ability to do that. But then we have the ability to interpret tongues. Now, these are supernatural abilities given to us by the Spirit of God which is working in us. Amen. And that's why it's important to walk in the Spirit, that we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh, because we have so many weapons in the spiritual realm to fight the battle or come against the onslaught of the enemy. God has equipped us for this fight.
Well, you know, some people don't believe. Some people, as you shared a few minutes ago, can we go back and revisit verse 10? There are some people,
all right,
who don't believe in the latter part of verse 10, which is tongues and then interpretations of tongues. So what do you say to them who don't believe in that?
Well, one thing about God, we serve a God that cannot lie. He will not change, and he will not deny himself. That's three things God can't do. God cannot lie. God will not change, and God cannot deny himself or will not deny himself. So it doesn't matter whether, in one sense, whether people believe it or not. If God said it, that settles it. Now, the songwriter said, God said it, I believe it, that settles it, but they got the order wrong. It should be God said it, that sells it, I believe it, you know.
Okay.
So some of us got to make the transition to believe that this is the infallible, uncut, uncompromised word of God. And if God says that he has imparted the ability to prophesy, you know, that he has imparted the ability to speak in tongues, that he has imparted the ability to interpretate tongues, it would behoove the reader to believe that God says what he means and means what he says. Now, everybody won't have all of these gifts at one time. Amen. He gives each man according to their several abilities. And so whoever God wants to give the ability to exercise the supernatural gift of healing, he will do that. And he has done that, and he will continue to do that. Whoever God has given the ability to speak in diverse kinds of tongues, he has done that, he is doing that, and he will continue to do that. And whomever God has given the ability to interpret the tongues that have been spoke, he has done it, he is doing it, and he will do it, because he said it. God cannot lie. He will not change, and he cannot deny himself.
Amen. Well, you know, something you shared last week, I think it's noteworthy again to be shared. And I'm not picking on you or anything but you brought clarity to it. And I talked to my wife after we did the podcast, because you know all of us were together during that particular time of ministry back in the early 80s, late 70s, early 80s.
Amen.
And you gave the testimony about that your son Calvin, and I hate to call Calvin's name. Hey man, how are you? If you can hear us today. Anyway, thank God.
It's all right, brother. It's all right.
It's good. And anyway, and I remember that so vividly today, that you shared. You were talking about the fact that you believe God for healing. We were believing God for healing during that particular time in our ministries, and we were saying, you know, God is a healer and he's that. And so and Marla began to refresh me about what happened when the medication was thrown away.
Amen.
And the mother came and said at that particular time, he's gonna die, you know. And I want you to elaborate on that again, because sometimes people have a misunderstanding about what was really happening and taking place, so there can be clarity. We're not telling anybody to throw their medicine away. That's not what we're saying.
No, God instructed you to do that.
Then, by all means, it doesn't take anything away from your faith to take medication while you're confessing the word of God. But
that's right.
We prefer that you would trust God, period. But now some people are not in that level. people, and we understand that. But I just wanted to, I want you to bring clarity on that so that people will have a good understanding about what you actually, because what you shared was so impactful. After I thought about it, I said, you know, I think he needs to revisit if he would and just talk a little bit about what actually took place, because I know we said we didn't have time, but I think it's important that you elaborate on it, because some people may have the wrong concept of what actually took place.
Well, I'm going to be transparent on this, because God is my witness and he is my guide. He has delivered me from the uttermost to, you know, from the guttermost to the uttermost. So the son that we're speaking in concert of was a child out of wedlock. And his mother had contacted me and said that he had chronic asthma, where he was taking barbiturates, and that he had even failed a year in school because he stayed in the hospital more than he stayed in the class. And at that juncture, I was a full-time missionary, wasn't working a secular job, didn't have any income. So therefore, and living in the faith house, if you will, and I told her, well, the best thing I could do, if she would bring the child to me, I would raise him, and we would believe God for his health. And sure enough, she was wearied in all the things that she was doing for him, and she did bring the child to us. And the day that he came, that evening, we were going to do some work for some elderly people, and you know, they were free. And while we were out, well, before we left, I decided, Lord, you know, we done prayed for folk all over the country. We done saw people get devils cast out of them and all these kinds of things. I said, you brought my son to me, and I'm trusting that you're going to take care of him. So in the meantime, we don't need these pills. I'm going to throw these pills away and trust you for his health. And I didn't tell nobody that I'd thrown the pills away. I just did it in secret. And went on about our business. Well, we got a call while we out working, saying to your son to say, where are the pills? Well, the pills gone, and God's man has ran. And so we run, come back to the house, and sure enough, he was gasping for breath. And I was led of the Lord to. We had two young boy ministers, and myself, Brother Robinson, Brother Longstreet. I said, well, we're going to gather around him and pray. And so the little boy preachers prayed for it. And Brother Robinson, Brother Longstreet, and when it come to my turn, I said, well, Lord, I need you. Pills thrown away. And I'm telling people that you are healing. You are. I've seen you work. I need you to work in my life. You know, and I need you to heal my son. Praise the Lord. And when I laid my hands on him, it was like putting my hands on a hot stove. It was so hot I had to snatch my hand off of him. Because it felt like it was burning my hand. And when I pulled my hand off of him, he jumped and leaped and spit up and began to dance in the spirit for about 15 minutes. So he just danced and danced and shouted and danced, and we took off dancing with it. Amen. Spirit, you know, when the angel troubles the water, you might as well get in it. So the Lord was blessing him. We danced with him, and we danced ourselves tired. And when it was over, here he is now. Many, many years later, has never taken another dose of asthma medicine from that day to this one. And I give God the praise for that. There was some fear at that, you know, God might not do it, but I was to believe in God. The Lord, I'm a minister of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've been called to tell people who you are and what you will do. This is my opportunity, amen, to be sealed in this area of my life, that you will do what you said you would do. And so I'm going to trust you for it. And so I just took off in my faith to believe that he was going to heal. I mean, we had no choice. I mean, the pills were gone. Amen. And it wasn't no assurance that we could make it to the doctor or to the hospital in time. So the best thing to do is that we touch and agree and believe God. And by faith, the Lord did just what we petitioned him for. Amen.
So, you know, that's a good thing, and this is what we've been talking about and what we're conveying to you, the listener on this podcast, is that the Lord is good. He's faithful, as the scripture says, and true.
Mm-hmm.
If he says he'll do a thing for us to do. You know, I believe that, and I'm so overwhelmed and impressed with what the Lord did that day, because I was right there when that happened. I was right
Praise
there.
Praise the Lord.
Part of that miracle that we watched the Lord demonstrate.
Yes, Lord. Amen.
His power to those who were believing, and you, because you believed him. And this is what I shared with the father. I said, you know, he was healed by faith. And watch what I'm getting ready to say. He was healed by faith, by your faith.
Mm-hmm.
I said, your faith.
Yes.
He was healed by your faith, when you took those pills and threw them away.
And you all became partakers of it, because y'all couple, two or three guys together touched it. Y'all touched and agreed with me when we started praying for him. Amen.
Right.
So our faith brought him through, praise the Lord,
right.
Which means that they can become contagious. It'll spread off on other folks if you exercise it right. Now, consequently, as a result of that, down through the years, the Lord has healed blinded eyes with these same hands. God has straightened out bow legs that were pigeon-toed, turned in. And one little girl had her legs were bent, and she was pigeon-toed, turned in, and her eyes was crossed.
Lord
straightened out her eyes, straightened out her feet, amen, and straightened up her legs. All kinds of one gentleman had skin disease on the inside of his skin. He had black spots all over him from his head to his toe. And through prayer, the Lord made his skin as smooth as a newborn babe and as clear and without spots, these things. So God was really, it wasn't what I was getting God to do, it's what God was set me up to do. It was all his plan. You understand?
Right.
It wasn't so much I trusted God in such a mighty way. I was in a desperate situation. And the only hope I knew at that juncture was the Lord. So I turned to him to trust him. But he was showing me through my son what he's going to do if I let him use me as we went across this nation. So God has done some miraculous things. There was a young man had sickle cell anemia. And I prayed for him in the revival and told him to go to the doctor's next day and let the doctor check him out. And he came back, and the doctor said the sickle cell was gone. Another guy stood in proxy for a young fellow that was in the hospital that was dying. And I tell everybody to check your clock. Look up there on the wall. We're going to document the time that we pray. And we're going to believe God for the healing of this young man. I didn't even know the young man. Matter of fact, none of his relatives there. One of the deacons in the church stood in for him. And we prayed for that young fellow through that deacon. And what I did know, and I found out later, the deacon left the church and went straight to the hospital just to see if anything had happened. And his testimony was that when he put his foot on that hospital floor, he looked down the hall, the little boy come running, So he asked him, how long he been like? He said, it wasn't too long ago. He just got up. So God had set me up to be used by him. Amen?
Amen.
And so I give him the glory, the praise. But, it's very possible if nothing had happened that day, I wouldn't have been very reluctant to pray for folks for healing, because I didn't know that God could heal for myself. I knew it said it in the Word, but as I shared to God, I need to know this for myself.
Now, I want to ask you a question. Is that just for preachers?
Beg your pardon?
Is that just for preachers?
No. It said it gave some. It didn't say some preachers. It said it gave some. So God imparts this to the body. Everybody have gifts, and everybody that's born again has talents. Mm-hmm. One needs to discover from God what he has imparted in them and let God use them in that manner, There are There are people that are born again that have dreams, and the dreams come true and it scares them. And they scared go to sleep because they scared they might dream something that's going to happen. never thought that this was a supernatural ability that God imparted them to interpret dreams. And so therefore they just don't get sleep, you see, because they're afraid that somebody, you know, especially if you dream something adverse, where somebody die or something like that. Oh, they dream about somebody dying the next day or two or that month, the person die. Now they're scared and nervous to death because they dreamed it. And they think they're the reason why the person died, because they dreamed it. So a lot of things in the body needs to be explained. A lot of giftings that we have need to be discovered. There needs to be some training and study as to how to let go and let God use them in the manner whereby he has called them. And you don't despise the gifts that God has imparted in you. Amen.
Okay. Yeah, so it would be safe to say that these signs shall follow them that believe. So it didn't say pastors.
Yeah.
Apostles, no. Prophets, evangelists, teachers.
Right.
It just said believers. And I, you know,
So
we're not talking about those of you who are listening today. We're not talking about because we're preachers. You know, I know some people say, well, you know, you all are preachers, and that's why that happened. No, that's not true. It's upon the belief as Pastor Sullivan said, you have to believe. This is not just for one set of people or a selected group. This is for people who are believers, and these happen to us who believe. And, and I'm glad that the Lord didn't make that just for the rich people, because I would be in trouble.
I would be really in trouble
at one point. And I'm glad didn't make it for a select group of people, or else I would have really been in trouble forever. I don't want to call nationalities or race groups or anything, but the bottom line is this is for everybody who believes, whether you black, white, green, or yellow, orange, or blue, or whatever nationality you may be, African American, Caucasian, you may be a Native American. I don't care who you are, whatever nationality you fall under, you may be from the Middle East or whatever. The bottom line is if you believe that these things can take place, God says, because of his word, that he's faithful and true to it, as I've shared earlier, that they will come to pass. And I'm so glad that you shared that you said you were candid about that. And, you know, sometimes people think that we don't have any error in our lives. And, you know, so many times, Pastor Sullivan and I are just as candid as we can be. I shared with you on one podcast with the pastor that, you know, we've had ups, downs, ins, outs. We've had situations. We're probably facing some now. Some of you think, well, you know, these guys got it made and they really don't have to be bothered about anything. You know, we're just like you. Paul said he became all things to all men. You know, one day he said, I've learned how to be abased and abound. And where I've learned to be content. So, you know, we understand where you are. Don't think that we're super men in the respect of we have no problems. We have problems. We have issues. We have circumstances. We have things that we face in life just like you. But we've learned. We've learned to put our trust and confidence in the Lord God Almighty, Yeshua, Jesus, Son, Yahweh, the Father. We've learned to put our trust in the God who has given us salvation. So I wanted to bring this one out because you so vividly explained to us what really took place and the scenario that you were dealing with at that particular time, being in the situation with your son and with the lady at that particular time. And see, sometimes people think, well, I can't get a miracle because I'm out of place. Well, you know what? You're just right for a miracle.
Yes.
That's how God moves. He moves when things are not, he puts things in order that are out of order.
Well, in that case, God reached back. See, that child was 8 years old. So that means that here it is, 8 years later, God got me to where he wanted me to be.
Okay.
And I had not seen the child in 8 years. To be candid or truth about the whole matter, I didn't even know the child was mine. It had been said that the child was mine, But being doing what I was doing, running all over the world, doing everything I wanted to do, I thought I wanted to do, I had took no time to find out for sure if that was the truth. Until this time came that 8 years later, God straightened me out, pulled me out of darkness into the marvelous light. Then we were in Nashville, Tennessee, and somehow the young lady found us and told me what the situation was. And I told her I'd be back in Memphis, and if you can bring him to Memphis, I'll take care of it. And so that meant that I had to now even trust God for the report that I had heard, because I still didn't know no more then than I knew 8 years prior to. But it was like this to me. If God brought the child to me, it didn't matter what the DNA said or nobody else say. The fact is, he brought him to me, and that means that he's my son. So I raised him, and you know, and done the thing that was necessary to that a father should do. And to this day, it still has not been a DNA test, you know. But he's my son. Right. Matter of fact, he called me and wanted to get his name changed to my name, so I did. Even changed his last name to be Sullivan, and didn't get no confirmation from the secular doctors or nobody else. God did it; that settled it.
That's love.
Amen.
That's love. That's love. You know,
so,
I wanted to
remember that God put these members in the body as it pleased Him. So
okay.
Gifts,
that's what
you're talking about. Beg pardon?
You said as it pleased Him?
Yes, verse 18. But now has God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased Him. Amen. It pleased God to put Dr. Jerry O'Neill Robinson in the body, in the position that he's in. You know, it pleased God to put you, brothers and sisters, and I listen in order, in the position, in the body that you're in, regardless of what esteem you may put on yourself or how people may view you. Wherever you are in the body of Christ, if you're in the category of these gifts that we just shared here, you have it because God, it pleased God for you to have it. And therefore, since it pleased God for you to have it, who cares about who might please that you got it? The main thing is you be glad of what God has imparted in you and how he has invested in you. He has put heaven's best in your breast. You see, and so you should receive it with joy and do everything within your power to exercise it in the manner that he so leads you. And then not only will you be blessed, but others will too.
Amen. You know, we that is such a great testimony. And I'm so I'm just so energized by it, because last week we talked about acknowledging every good thing brings. It talks about power. You know, we were talking about the power of the dunamis you shared earlier.
Yes.
And it takes power to be able to acknowledge every good thing, because sometimes people will shoot you down, as the old cliche goes, or things will be come at us to say, well, you know what, you shouldn't say that, or you shouldn't do. You follow what I'm saying? You shouldn't do that.
Yeah, of course.
It takes power to acknowledge good things, and it's all because we got about 11 minutes to the air time here. And we talked about last week that we were releasing our faith by confessing this to be the greatest day of our life. We talked about our faith being held hostage and how that we are the ones responsible for the next level. We're the ones that are responsible for releasing our faith. I don't know where you are. I don't know what you're dealing with, but Pastor Sullivan and I came to tell you that you have just as much right to release your faith as he did when he was dealing with his son, and as he shared also in other occasions when he was praying for people that were in situations that needed a miracle, and he released his faith. And God to perform, as we shared last week also. We were talking about performance. You know, it's not our job to perform. It's God's business to perform his word. We don't have to try to act it out. In the respect of being God, He's the one that's liable to His word to perform it. The Bible says, "Sent His word and He performed it." So
praise
He performed His word on your behalf when you trusted His word. And so, actually, what what we're saying today to all of us who are listening, to release your faith. Make this the greatest day of your life. I don't care how bad it may have seemed, amazing. And this is the day that the Lord has made. We want to rejoice and be glad in it. I said something after we listened to the podcast last week, Pastor, and this is something I really want to say again. I didn't say this to anybody, but I said, you know what, Lord, I want to live my life now as if every day is the day that you're coming back or the last day of my life.
All right.
I want to live it that way because the hour and the time is short and the times are precious. But I brought myself to that conclusion. And I'm not trying to bring anybody else to that place as such, but this is what God spoke to me. This is how I want to live, because I've sought to live that way. I put emphasis on it today because every day is God's day. Every day is a good day, regardless of what the circumstances are. And there are some people who are facing real tough times, some hard circumstances. Like you and I shared after the podcast last week, there are people in other countries who are faced with hardships. We got missionaries out on the field who are actually living, and their trust is totally in the Lord. They have nothing else. They don't have some of the things that we have. They don't have an emergency room. They don't have some of the modern vicissitudes of life, if we would say.
All right.
We would have. They don't have some of the modern. What is that? Technology. They don't have electrical lights. They don't have. All of those. All of the luxuries that we enjoy in this country, sometimes on the mission field, they don't have that.
Yes.
And so their trust is not. Their trust is in God. That's my whole point. And so they make the best. That's what I'm driving to. They're making the best they have in order to be better, to get a better quality of life. I went off on a limb on that one, Pastor, but yeah, it's
cute. Let me say this, because I hear the Spirit saying that there's somebody out there saying, how dare him tempt God like that. I want them to understand that that wasn't tempting God. Let me show you how God built me up. One of the first scriptures I learned coming back from a backslidden condition was Romans 12:1-2. It's out of seeking ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove that which is acceptable and perfect will of God. So I wasn't tempting God. He had already put this scripture in my spirit, amen, to build me up to the extent that at this test time that I would be in a position mentally and spiritually to prove him in this particular area. So that's the difference between testing and proving. Lord, your word said, prove you in the earth, and here's an opportunity for the proof of you to be manifest. I need a healing for my son. Amen. And so that's what it wasn't just that I stepped out and said, Lord, if you don't do this, I ain't going to do that. You know how some people do the Lord. Well, Lord, if you don't do this, I ain't going to preach your word no more. I ain't going to teach no more. I ain't going to share, with another person. No. It wasn't that kind of a situation. Lord, the opportunity is here. The pills go. This is a good token. This is a good spot to prove you, amen, through in the earth through this work, and that's exactly what he did. It wasn't an attempt. It was a proving going on. Amen.
Yeah, and you know what? You and I talked about last week. We talked about one of the podcasts about just what you just shared about the fact that God wants us to say the same thing he's saying. And that we were talking about our confession, which is taken from the word homologio, which we have the word homogenized, and that is all everybody blending together to say the same thing. And God says, Jerry, I've really been really keen. I thank God for these podcasts because I've revisited those things and I've watched how God has began to remind me that And this is something that I shared in the Bible study on Wednesday night. I said, look, last week, I said, look, or this week, I said, look, God says he wants us to say the same thing, all of us in the body of Christ, but especially those of us who say we say the same thing he's saying. And so if we're not in sync with him, if we're not homogenizing with him or either blending, then we're actually slapping him in the face because he's already said that by his stripes we're healed, with his stripes we're healed. These signs shall follow them that believe. These are good things that are inside of us when we are when we become believers. And but I want to say this. I want to bring this point out. Not only does the Lord desire for us to homogenize, but he also desires for us to synthesize. What does that mean? You know, some people say, well, you know, I don't like Pastor Sullivan because he's so-and-so, da-da-da-da-da-da. I don't like Dr. Robinson because he's da-da-da-da, or Jerry Robinson because he's da-da-da-da-da. Okay. Listen. Synthesize means opposites blending together to make. God wants us to synthesize. No, I may not have the same gift you have in the body of Christ, but they were all of the same spirit, as Pastor Sullivan said earlier.
Yes, sir.
They're
all
of the same spirit. So my gift may not be your gift, and your gift may not be my gift, but the bottom line is that they came from the same
gift. From the same body. So, yeah, same spirit. Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir. And so what we are doing is God says synthesize. What is a synthesizer?
Yeah.
That's an instrument that's used to bring harmony to different keynotes. And take, for instance, the electric piano. It has black and white keys. And there are two different types of colors and two different types of sound mostly. But the bottom line is that when a person who skillfully plays that thing brings those keys into a place of harmony, then we get a great sound. We call it music.
mm-hmm.
God wants us to synthesize. Not only wants us to say the same thing, but he also wants us to sing a song to the world and make harmony. He wants us to give. Okay, Sullivan, okay, help me out. Slow me down.
Well, see, the psalmist said that he loveth righteousness and judgment. So we was talking also last week in that closing remarks about righteousness, sanctification, and holiness. See, we got to love righteousness. And if you love it, then you love doing it. If you love doing it, you love seeing it done. And that means I love it in you, you love it in me. And we won't, won't revile righteousness when we see it. And we've been set aside for a holy use. I mean, our whole purpose on this earth is for a holy use to glorify God. And to do that, we got to live holy. And it's not a suggestion. It's a command. God commands us to live holy. So we got to be grateful that he chose us for a time like this. We got to rise to the occasion. You know, the last seconds is ticking off the clock. Amen. We got to be the go-to person in a time like this because our children are in trouble from dropping out of school, teenage pregnancy, strung out on dope, hung up in gangs, caught up in the materialism of this life. They're in trouble. Marriages are breaking up, you know, in an all-time high. And even the desire to be married is lessened now. It has got less and less and less. Don't nobody want to get married no more. And so we're in trouble. So God got to use somebody. We got to be the go-to person at a time like this to bring about righteousness and holiness in the earth that people may see God and he may be glorified.
Well, you know, speaking of this fact that you said that the time is ticking and we're in the last, we only have 60 seconds left. Glory to God for the podcast. Look, where does the time go? I mean, look like we just started the podcast and it's an hour and we're almost at it. But we got 40 seconds left. Pastor, would you pray for us before we get off the air today?
All right. Dear God, in Jesus' name, we look to you by faith. We thank you for your blessings and all of your benefits. We appreciate you for all things that you're doing with us, for us, and to us. You said, oh God, that if we would have the faith as the size of a grain of mustard seed, we could speak to you on the mountain and command it be removed and be cast into the sea. So Satan, we come against you now, who come to hinder, to steal, to kill, and to destroy. You who go about like a roaring lion, seeking whom you may devour. I command you to take your nasty, foul, contemptuous hands off of God's prophet. I command you to go into the dry places and never return anymore in Jesus' name. I speak health, wealth, and prosperity into the lives, the hearts, the minds, the situations, the circumstances of all people under the sound of my voice. I decree you to be whole in Jesus' name. I decree that you be delivered in Jesus' name. I decree that you are empowered even the more now. In Jesus' name we pray and give thanks. Amen.
Well, that's it, friends. We're out of time again. Come back and check us out another Friday next week on another podcast. This time, remember, the good news is that the bad news is
Israel.
All right. God bless you. We'll see you next week.
Amen.